Chandrahasyam class, 13th of November. Astayam Sadhana. This is the conclusion of Vajrahasyam. We finished the last verse yesterday discussing. So this is the conclusion of the book, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is summarizing his entire presentation in a Bengali verse, his concluding words of Vajrahasyam. We can read the Bengali. Saranera saha ashtakali liladan chintite krame sira bhavapan bhavapan. We could just go verse by verse. Because he's basically summarizing the whole presentation. And then in the commentary the same point is mentioned. Saranera sahashtakale liladan chintate krame sira bhav apan. While performing sadhana bhakti, one should meditate continuously on the treasure of Radha and Krishna's astakaliya lila. Doing this, one will gradually attain the perfectional stage of accepting a spiritual form, apanadhasra. That's the translation of what he's saying. So this is very specific instructions on bhajan Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving. And we don't see too much discussion here about deity worship and other forms of sadhana and devotional activities that devotees often engage in the name of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He's right to the point and specific that we should continuously meditate on the Astakali Lila of Krishna. Our acharyas are given these books, and most of them are in English, but very few of us actually spend time, power time or important time reading every day. We read many things every day. Everyone goes on internet every day. I don't have internet. But most people do. They go on the net and they see the news, dundabats.com or something like that. Rising Sun and this and that, and you know, all these different websites to see what's happening with so-and-so and this and that. But who's actually going every day on the network of Radha and Krishna's Nitya Leela? And that was the net that the acharyas wanted us to tune into every day as part of our sadhana bhajan. Krishna Bhavanamrita, Govinda Leelamrita, Krishnaika Kumudi, all these books were written for the network. They were written for the devotees to tune into every day and read. They are supposed to be our daily medicine. It is not forbidden fruit. It is the treasure. It's the inheritance. It's the family heirloom. When your father dies and he leaves the estate to you, so then you say, no, I don't care for my father's estate. I want to work somewhere else or do some other activity. So all these great acharyas, they labored so hard to write all these wonderful books of Astakali Lila. And then we have various excuses why we don't read them. I'm too busy, I'm not qualified, and etc., etc., etc. It's a long string. For the very first instruction he's giving, because this is Secrets of Bhajan. This is the summary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Secrets of Bhajan, the concluding words, his last words, his final words. This book itself, Bhajan Rahasyam, is one of the last books he wrote. It is actually the last book he wrote. After this, he summarized his own bhajan in a small pamphlet with 12 instructions, Niyama Dwadashak, something or other. It's like 12 points that he would to summarize his basic bhajan. But as a major work, which was an expanded commentary and completion of his Harinam Chintamani, he gave us his Bhajan Rahasyam. So he's a very interesting point he's making here, because there's the five dashas to attaining Siddhadeya begins with Shravana Dasha. And Shravana Dasha means the platform of hearing, intense hearing about these subject matters, about the sadhya, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness, about Manjari Bhav, Sadhana, about Siddhadeya, about Astakali Lila, about the rasa and bhavas of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. This is Shravana Dasha. Jiva Dharma gives a very good example of Shravana Dasha from A to Z, beginning with Jiva Tattva, Nam Tattva, Vaishnav Tattva, then Prema Tattva, Radha Tattva, Krishna Tattva. All these things are there. And finally, the Sadhana and Sadhya Tattva. A perfect compilation of the whole presentation. So he says that by this process, this is his very first instruction on his concluding words, by the process of hearing repeatedly Radha and Krishna's Leela, Apana Dasha means accepting one's Siddhadeya. He says simply by Shravana Dasha, which is what he's saying here, because Shravana Dasha and there's acceptance, Varana Dasha, some steps, and Sampana Dasa, after Apana Dasa is Sampana, where you actually enter the Leela. There's five dashas. But he's saying that by Shravana Dasha, specific, focused, Leela, Astakali Leela, Radha and Krishna, if one is interested in the Stayi Bhava of Madhura Rati, as a Sakhi Manjri of Radharani, specifically, this book is for him. These Astakali Shastras are for him, because they're all written by Manjris. Kasturi Manjri wrote Govinda Lilamrita, and Siddha Krishnadas, he's a Manjri, he wrote Bhavanasara Sangraha, and the Sakhi, Kavi Karnapur is a Sakhi. They wrote these books. How to hear about Radha and Krishna's Astakali Leela. By that Shravana Dasha, one will come to the point of accepting it all and accepting the fact that he wants to have his role there and identity there. And then he'll come to the platform of this Bhav Apan. He says, Siddha Bhav Apan. At the level of Bhav, one attains Siddha, perfection. And then he gets his, as it says here, he will accept his spiritual form. This is apana. The word apana means to accept. He will accept means, like if I come to you and I say, this is for you. Now you have a choice. You can accept it or reject it. I'm offering something. So at the level of bhava, the siddhadeya will be offered. It'll be offered to the jiva by the well-wishers of devotion, the Nitya Siddha Parishads of the Lord, the Premi Bhaktas and Bhava Bhaktas, or that Siddha Guru who can see this Siddhadeya, he will award it, he will give it, and we will accept it, apana. But the preliminary to accepting the Siddhadeya is complete familiarity with the terrain, familiarity with the terrain, with the exchanges of love and rasa, and with the characters and the Nayak and the Nayaka, Radha and Krishna and all the gopis, sakis, and all the Leela Stalis and all the pastimes. Otherwise, if someone gives you the purpose of giving, being of, the purpose of receiving or being awarded a Siddhadeya is to do seva in Astakali Leela. So we have no interest, we have no Ashabandha, which is a characteristic of Bhava, Ashabandha. Determine hope against hope to enter there specifically and serve, then there's no reason for the Nitya Siddhas to give us such an access or to give us such a spiritual body to enter the Leela. Because it's all about seva. We're not going there, we're not buying a ticket and going as a spectator, like some football game or soccer match. So this is sadhanera saha. He said this is sadhan. The first line is sadhanera saha. Ashtakala Leela Dhan, that one should accept the treasure, mix his sadhana with the treasure of Astakali Leela. Chintate Krame. Krame, thinking and meditating one after the other in sequence. Krama means sequence or step. Step by step, meditating one Leela after the other. And this very book is like guiding us like that. Then one will become Siddha, and attain bhav, siddha, bhav, apan. Siddha, bhav, apan. This is the sadhana to become siddha. Siddha means bhava bhakti. And bhava bhakti means receiving the treasure of siddhadeya to enter. Then he says, sarup siddhate braje prakat avashtan, prakat avastan, gunamaya gopi dehi lilaravitan. Attaining Sarup Siddhi, the sadaka takes birth in Prakat Braj, which means Bhoma Vrindavan, in the material world, and Radha Krishna's Leela, and a body, and a gopi's body, which is at that point made of, says Gunamaya Gopi Deha, because he's born in the material world, so it's his Siddha Deha, but it's Gunamaya. There's some mixture of the modes of nature there. And this is also described in the Rasa Panchadaya, the five chapters of Rasa Dance, which is a Bhoma Vrindavan setting, and there's sadhana siddha gopis there. The Dandakaranya rishis who became gopis, and the Municharis, Shrutiacharis, different categories of sadhakas, they got a gopis form. They became gopis. And then Krishna played the flute to call them for the rasa dance, but it says they're gunamaya deha. The same term is there. They had gunamaya deha, and then that's why it gets confusing. It said some of the gopis were not, it's right from Krishna book, some of the gopis were not allowed, when Krishna played the flute, they wanted to go for rasa dance. It was Maharas dance, Ashwin Purnima. They wanted to run out and dance in the rasa dance with Krishna because this was their aim of their sadhana after thousands and thousands of lifetimes. In the case of the Shrutiacharis, so many thousands of years, they meditated with this Gopi Bhav sadhana. And then they were called and they couldn't go. Their husbands or mother-in-laws, they blocked them. So then it says those gopis who couldn't go out for the rasa dance, they died. Sometimes it says they died. It says they gave up their bodies. And what it in the Sanskrit it says they're gunamaya deha. Gunamaya deha. It's in the shloka. So then the acharyas say, it said, it wouldn't be very auspicious. There's a big party going on, and you're invited to the party, and you die that night. That's not a very auspicious party. You know, you're having a big party, and your friend says, please come, and you die. The whole party will have a sour note. Oh. So Vishnu says it's not possible that actually the gopis died, khatam ho gaya, but rather they gave up their gunamaya deha. That deha, some of the gopis, they were able to go out because their purva rag was developed so much that by that purva rag, intense hankering to offer themselves for Krishna, although they hadn't met yet until that Maharas dance, that intense purva rag dissolved and burned up all their subtle body in gunamaya deha, any mixture of the modes of nature in their siddha deha, and then they were eligible to go out and meet with Krishna. Other ones were kept in their home and they burned in the fire of anxiety. Oh, we can't get out, we can't get out. It's like a tapasya. So they burned, oh, why can't we get out? And then it says next night, as Krishna's having rasa dance all the time, so the next night or the third night when Krishna played the flute, then by that their body became totally transformed by that hankering and by that suffering and separation. Their purva rag became so intense that they gave up any tinges of contamination from the modes of nature. Then they went in their pure bodies to join Krishna in the rasa dance. So that's there as the Leela Vichar of the 10th canto. And here he's just saying, here is a tattva vichar. This is a principle. Sarup siddhate braja prakat. Prakat braj, braja prakat. There's aprakat braj and prakat braj. This is aprakat. We don't see Krishna now. But 5,000 years ago, Krishna was walking here. Prakat. So one will attain prema in this body. But still, there's some subtleties in his chitta. There can be still some guna mayak influence. Because he's born in a material world. We don't go from here. We don't go from this. We attain prema right here today. Say you attain prema. You don't go from here to the spiritual world. You go to Bhoma Vrindavan. It's in the material world. When this seems like the material world. It's a material world that Krishna is manifesting his pastime in the material world, on the earth planet, in another universe. You enter there. So that's the material world. So you take birth from the womb of a gopi. So your body is made of consciousness? No. It's made of the gunas. And unless you're a parishad, then there's manushya, you know, there's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside of his body. So that's what he's saying, sarup siddha. He says you attain sarup siddhi. That means the level of prema. And then Avastan. Avastan means you enter. But gunamaya gopi dehi. You have a gopi's body, but it's gunamaya. Lila, then this other term. One should meditate continuously on the treasure of Radha Krishna's Astakali Lila, along with all the other devotional practices, such as chanting the holy name. In this way, one gradually comes to the stage of appropriating the siddha form, bhav apanadhasha. This is our bhajan, the progressive path of prem nam bhajan. This is what is being taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our acharyas in our line of devotion. The progressive path of prem nam bhajan, first bhav, then body. And some paths, they have the idea of first body, then maybe bhav, maybe not. First take a body and run with it and hope you get there. That's a way to go also. But that's not the particular line that we've come in. In the Sarup City stage, one is present in a gopi body made of material qualities during Radha and Krishna's Prakat Leela. So it's a very interesting presentation here, because oftentimes we think, oh, when you attain prema, then you're spiritual. Because there's no more material desire, right? Is there material desire when you have prema? No. No material desire. But you're still in a material body. Yes? Yes. So it's called spiritualized. You take the rod and put it in the fire and it becomes red hot. It's like fire. It's still a piece of iron, no? So it's spiritualized. It exhibits all the qualities of a spiritual body, totally absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, having spurti, seeing their leelas, but you're in a material body. This very body you can attain prema. Then that's called Sarup City. You realize you're Siddhadeha. Then you take birth in the material world in another Gunamaya Deha. But you're prema. You don't have material. It's not you have a material body, you're going to start going, smoking cigarettes. So, you're in a material body. So that materiality, that has to be dissolved. That's a very subtle level, because your whole mind, your whole chitta, your whole consciousness and chitta is made of seva, is made of prem seva. So this is important understanding. It's okay, material body, you can have a material body, but not necessarily have material desires. But Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So when we have to transit, the jiva has to transit from Sarup City to Vastu City. Vastu. Vastu means that substance, that eternal substance called Vastu. In Bhoma Vrindavan, we take birth. That's Sarup City and Prem, but there's Gunamaya Deha. Now that Sarup has to become, that Siddhadeha has to become Vastu, or Vastu Deha. And then, that's why we say it, when Krishna leaves Bhoma Vrindavan and goes to the spiritual world, he's in a Satchidananda Vigraha when he's here, and he goes in a Satchidananda Vigraha, and then we go there also. But do we go in this Gunamaya body? No. Now we have Vastu City. Now, from this Bhoma Vrindavan, we leave this, and then we don't take birth again. We don't take birth, we don't grow up. We just enter there in Vastu City. So that transiting between Sarup City and Vastu City goes on in Bhoma Vrindavan. And Krishna, how it goes on, exactly like it's described in the five chapters of the Rasa Dance. Krishna arranges it. He increases the Purvarag. From the heart of the father, and what do you call a husband, so-called husbands, he prevents them from going out, and then they go. And that same purport says, some of the sadhana siddha sakis, they got more association with the Nitya Parishads. It's all individual. They got more association with Lita, Rupa, etc. And by their association, that burned up their Gunamaya Deha. You follow? The Shrutichari's, Dandakarani Rishis, they're not just a bunch of clones. They're all individual jivas. Some of them had the fortune, they took birth as gopis in Bhoma Vrindavan, and they got to mix up a lot and associate a lot. Just like, everyone's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But how many got to mix up tightly with Prabhupada? A handful. And they got such strong samskaras and such strong benefit from that. So these Shruti Charis have got lots of associates. This is all in the. I'm just telling you Vishnu's purports and Sanatan's purports, and not, you know, you can read them yourself. Maybe you already read. So some of those sadhana siddha gopis, that means us, as they, we, same. Because we're doing sadhana to attain perfection. They got lots of association for some good reason because of their previous attainment or whatever. It's not explained. They got more association with the nitya siddhas of Radha and Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha, Rupa Mandri, etc. And by that association, they reflected their intense purvaraga and intense bhav and love for Krishna. And it came in them. And that dissolved all their gunamaya. So they attained Vastu Siddhi right then and there. Krishna played his flute. No block, no stop. And they went out to dance with Krishna. The other ones who were Sarup Siddhi and their Gopi Deha, they had gunamaya Deha. And then they were blocked from going out. So that anxiety of not being able to meet Krishna, although wanting to, then increased their attachment more and more for Krishna, increased their purvarag, and then that burning fire of separation dissolved their gunamaya deha, and they got Vastu Siddhi. Then the next night they went out. It's very logical and very simple. Is it, understand? It's not so much difficult. So this is, it's all told, just like why is the story, why is the Bhagavatam told? Just because they want to fill up some, you know, paper with some stories. It's for the sadhakas. It's all teachings. Why the story of Narada Muni is there? There's hundreds of rishis that have walked through India and hundreds of sages. Why? There's only a few stories in the Bhagavatam, very few stories. And Narada Muni is such an important story because he's a classic sadhaka. He had association with Mahabhagavats. He attained bhava by their heartfelt blessings, by the mercy of the devotees. So that can also. Then how did he attain his siddhadeya? Did he get Siddha Pranali Dikshit? No. He didn't get that. It's not described. But he was, so it's described that this is, that it is a Bhagavat Vidhi that it just shows he did sadhana bhakti, he got blessings of the sadhus, he attained bhav, and then he at the level of bhav, then he qualified to have a brief darshan Narayan. Because his Ishta was Narayan, so he had, and Narayan said, okay, you see me, but you won't see me again. So then he hankered so much, and that hankering became so much advanced, became so much attached, and developed so much bhav, and more attachment, and prema. Then when he died, as soon as he died, he got a siddhadeya, just like that. It said he left one body and got the other one, just like lightning and thunder. What is the time separation? Lightning and thunder, you know, then boom, and then zoop. It's like, you know, what, seconds? So he gave up one body, then he got a siddhadeya. And when you get siddhadeya, just like when you get everything, just like you take birth as a baby, this is a material example, it's the same thing. When you're born as a baby, do you get a name? So, and then you have a place of residence, a vasa, and you have seva, and you have a complexion, you have a dress, you have age, everything you have. And all you did was take birth. Same thing. When you get siddhadeya, then automatically you know what color your skin is, and you know what your name is, and you know where you live, and you know how to get around where you live. This is a logical, obvious thing, and Narada Muni is an example of that. So our particular line, we follow this Bhagavad Vidhi, which is a traditional path given by the Goswamis. And over the last hundreds of years, the last 300-400 years, the path has been somewhat refined and specified in slightly different ways to achieve the same end. And that's also being presented successfully in many cases. Krishna Kripa Bale Guna Maya Vaputyaji Aprakata Braje Gopi Salokyari Bhaji. By the mercy of Krishna, one gives up that body of material elements and enters the eternal non-manifested Braj, whereas a gopi living on the same planet as Krishna. So this is what I already explained, transiting between Sarup Siddhi and Boma Vrindavan and Vastu Siddhi and Braj Lok. Krishna Kripa Bali Gunamai Vapu Tyaji. Vapu, means body. Like we say, Guru Vani, Guru Vapu. Tyaji means reject. How do you reject Krishna Kripa? How did the sadhana siddhas reject their gunamaya bodies? By Krishna Kripa. How did they get Krishna Kripa? He played his flute. He called them for the rasa dance. And Yogamaya arranged that they were blocked. Then, you get that Kripa, then aprakat Brajagopi. Brajagopi, Salok Yadi Bhaji. Then you go to the Salok, the same planet with Krishna. Aprakat Dham Vrindavan. Here's another. When by Krishna's mercy, the practitioner gives up this material gopi body, she then enters the eternal non-manifested Braj, this is in Vastu city, where she attains the perfection of living in the same realm as Krishna, Salokya. Nitya Kala Shuddha Dehi Radha Krishna Seva Shtula Linga Sangha Bhoda Harappaya Keba. Then that gopi in her Vastu city eternally serves Radha and Krishna in her spiritual body and never again contacts a gross or subtle material body. Stula Sharir or Linga Sharir. Arapaya Keva. Radha Krishna Seva. Nitya Kala Shudadeya. In a totally pure body. Then what happens? Hare Krishna Namagane. Nitya Mukta Bhav. Purna Premananda Labha. Anayase Pabe. So now we made it, at least in this progression here, that the sadhaka has made it to Siddha, the Siddha has made it to Gopideha, the Gopideha has made it to Vastu city. Now that gopi is living in Nityadham Vrindavan, eternally engaging in the service of Radha and Krishna. And what all is going on up there? The eternally liberated soul goes on singing the Hare Krishna mantra with Bhav and thus experiences the fullness of divine ecstatic love. Hare Krishna Nam Gane Nitya Mukta Bhav Purna Premananda Bhav. So, guess what? They're chanting and dancing in the spiritual world also. Nam Sankirtan is going up there. Gopi Geet. This is Nam Sankirtan. There's Lila Kirtan or Guna Kirtan, Nam Kirtan. The eternally liberated soul goes on chanting and singing the Hare Krishna mantra in the liberated mood and thus experiences the fullness of divine ecstatic love. Deka bhai sarane siddhite ek ibhav kabo nahi charinam swakya prabhav. Look, brother, deko bhai. The devotee never stops chanting the Hari Nam, whether in the stage of practice or in the stage of perfection. He shows the same affection for the name, knowing its inherent power. So, as I said, this is the progressive path of Prem Nam Bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting the progressive path of Prem Nam Bhajan to bring one from Shraddha to Prem. By emphasis of chanting the holy name, meditating Astakali Lila, and mixing that meditation with the Shikshastakam and the verses from Bhajan Rahasyam, and meditating on Lilas. Then gradually as one does that, as he comes to different levels, he'll see in different syllables of the holy name, different Lilas. He'll see that Hare Krishna represents Shraddha. Represents this Pratak Lila, or rather Nishat Lila. Then he goes on, Ata eva namaghao namakarasar arakona saranera nakaravichar. Therefore, always, in other words, these are the concluding words, the final word, the last words of Bhajan Rahasyam. He's written this entire book with 200 verses. There's a 200 verse commentary, let's say, 200 verses taken from Shastras to explain Shikshastakam and Shraddha Prema, levels of Shraddha Prema, and then he's added his own comments here and there, And when it's all said and done, these are his final words. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda tells us, always sing the Harinam and make the holy name the essence of your life. Never consider any other method of spiritual practice. Arakon saranera nakara vichar. Vichar is an obvious word, means consideration. Arakon saran. There's no other sadhana. Nam gao, take the name. Brother, always sing the holy name. Make the holy name the essence of your life. Nam kara sar. Sar means the essence. Never consider any other method of spiritual practice. Here ends the Bhajan Rahasyam. So Bhajan Rahasyam is a beautiful glorification, chanting the holy name as the means to perfection, taking us from Shuddha to Prema, from a sadhaka to a siddha, from a material body to a Sarup city, from Sarup city to Vastu city, from mundane life to divine life, from absorption in bodily activities and connections to absorption, astakalya seva, in our manasik deha. The Raghunuga Bhakta, and especially the Rupanuga Bhakta, remember Radhan Krishna Yugal's night pastimes while chanting the holy name, and they humbly pray, when will I attain service in these pastimes? The sadhaka remembers these pastimes and the association of rasik bhaktas and gradually attains perfection. That's interesting. This is the final purport here in this. Well, this is the translation of the same thing, which I read in two different forms. This is another translation done by the translators of this book. Originally, it was written in Hindi by Srila Narayan Maharaj. So I don't know who's translated this, but it's quite interesting what they're doing here. This is, in other words, Sadanera Saha Ashtakala Lila Dan. Chintate krame siddha bhavapan. And they're translating this like this. The Raghunuga Bhakta, especially Rupanuga Bhakta, remember Radha and Krishna, Yugal, night pastimes. And while chanting the holy name, they humbly pray, when will I attain service in these pastimes? That's rather a poeticized translation. It's not exactly literal, but it's very nice. It's in consonance with the basic meaning. The sadhak number, the verse, second verse, Sarup Siddhite Braje Prakat Avastan Gunamaya Gopi Dehe Lilara Vitan. The sadhaka remembers these pastimes in the association of rasik bhaktas and gradually attains perfection. Upon attaining Sarup Siddhi, he takes birth in a gopi's house in Prakat Lila by the arrangement of Yogamaya. It's an approximate and also extended translation. Now, verse 3. Krishna Kripa Bale Gunamaya Vaputyaji Aprakata Brajagopi Salokyari Bhaji. There, in the Prakat Lila of Bhoma Vrindavan, under the guidance of Krishna's eternal associates like Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa, Rati, Manjari, his seva in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna matures. He gives up his attachment to family and attains the body of a gopi in the apricot lila of Vrindavan. Well, that's pretty close. Krishna Kripa Bali Gunamaya apricot Braja Gopi. Well, that's nice. Now, number 4. Nitya Kala Shuddha Dehi Radha Krishna Seva Shtula Linga Sangha Bhoda Ara Paya Keva. There, in Goloka Vrindavan, he is forever absorbed in serving Radha and Krishna in his perfected body. At the time of sadhana, the gross and subtle bodies are obstacles in attaining one's service. 5. Hare Krishna Nam Gane Nitya Mukta Bhave Purna Premananda Labha Anayase Bhave. However, constant performance of Hare Krishna Nam Kirtan manifests the sadhaka's pure identity, Shuddha Sarup. 6. Dekho bhai, sadhane siddhate eka I bhav, kabo nahi chari nam swakiya prabhav. The bhavas upon which the sadhaka meditates at the time of sadhana will be attained at the time of perfection. That's interesting. So that's the conclusion. Thus ends Ashtayam Sadhana, Ratri Leela Bhajan Rahasyam. So this is this book is to be our companion to the chanting of the holy name. The senior advanced devotees in the Gaudiya Math, the sannyasis, that had been in a math for some time and accomplished in devotion, they were following this bhajan and chanting the holy name every day as a daily practice of bhajan rahasyam. Chanting 1 lakh of rounds every day and going through bhajan rahasyam, the verses, praying to the verses, meditating on the verses, reading explanations and tikkas on the verses, meditating on the leelas, and chanting the holy name and praying and surrendering. This was their bhajan. And of course they also had other services of preaching and whatnot. Now, that was for the sannyasis during Lord Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote over 100 books, and this was his final opus, his final contribution, that Nam is everything. He was such a practitioner of Nam Bhajan and such a propagator of Nam Bhajan. And he wrote all these, a whole systemized body of literature in Bengali to organize society for Nam Bhajan. You must have heard of this Nam Hat. You've heard of this Nam Hat preaching. Nam Hat, Hatta, or Nam Hat means the marketplace. The marketplace, the bazaar, the marketplace. The Hatta, this is a Bengali term. I think we say bazaar in Hindi or something like that, although it's English. But Nam Hatta, and then you purchase Shravan Janahe, Shravan Janahe. Hey, men of faith, the purchasing power for the Nam is faith. And the person who's selling the name is Lord Nityananda. And there's so many agents that are representing him. A whole scheme he had. And he was so much encouraging everyone to take up Nam Bhajan. And this is the successful way in Kali Yuga. Especially now, there's so much disturbance. We were watching someone, for example, before, when a yogi, a jnani, or a bhakta, when he wanted to sit and do dhyan, bhakti dhyan, or yoga dhyan, or whatever, just do meditation, he had to really worry about vikshape. Vikshape means distraction, mental distraction, and manovritti, the waves and movements of his mind, the vibration of his mind. So in the yoga system, they try to pacify the mind through pranayama, asana pranayama, and bring a steadiness in the mind, as Krishna describes in Gita, that the mind should become like a candle in a windless place. The mind should burn steady. Like a candle. If there's no wind, the flame doesn't go like this, it's steady. So the yogis have their particular, with half-closed eyes, Krishna describes in Gita how to meditate as a yogi, jnana yogi. Sit perfectly straight, observe brahmacharya, go to a lonely place up in the mountains, away from society. And this is 5,000 years ago. Society meant away from the sound of chariot rumbling horses, away from the sound of rumbling chariots. You know, some quiet place where you don't hear horses walking down the street. It's very noisy, horses. And go to some quiet place where you don't hear village ladies talking at the waterhole. And you don't hear husbands and wives yelling at each other. In some quiet place. Now, that was 5,000 years ago. And sit perfectly straight. Have your eyes half closed. Madhya Bru. It says Madhya Bru. Bru means brow, eyebrow. Stare at the point between your two eyebrows. You know, like this. And then meditate on the The Agya, the Trikuta Agya Chakra. This is in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know that chapter, yoga chapter. So there, then you try to meditate on Paramatma and complete solitude and do pratyahara, withdraw the senses from all the objects, the ears from the sound, nose from fragrance, eyes from rupam, and just, this is pratyahara, withdrawal. We have that also. And then meditate. And in the bhakti path, we have mantra, and then we have lila, and we have rupam, rupdhyan, we try to meditate. So that was done 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago, when the environment was relatively quiet and relatively peaceful. So today we saw someone in Govardhan, when we did parikrama, he was doing meditation and chanting mantra, Gopal mantra. He's been there for many months. He's trying to do some type of purushcharan. Purushcharan brata is a practice by which one chants so many lakhs of name and does so many other, five or six other practices in order to attain siddhi and mantra. It's called Purushcharan Brat. It's described in Hari Bhakti Vilas in English, you can see also. And the six Goswamis did this also, and many of our acharyas have done this Purushcharan Brat. So he's there attempting for that. So he's there in the same place and time, and he's chanting his mantras, and he has some mandalas in front of him for meditation and things, maybe Gopal Yantra. Then right here, like this. Cell phone. This is his cell phone. It's turned on. And as soon as that cell phone rings, hello? Acha. Oh, you need some sabji from the market. Okay, I'll get some sabji. So already there's so much mental disturbance in the manovritti, in the man, that so much effort and so many instructions and detailed instructions are given in yoga shastras and Patanjali's yoga sutras, how to pacify and control the mind and senses to bring about inner peace, shanti, so one can begin to deeply meditate and enter into dharana and dhyanam and dhruvana smriti and samadhi, where one realizes the goal of his sadhana in samadhi. That alone is a whole lifetime and many lifetimes endeavor. And now you're adding a whole another disturbance in the form of a cell phone on top of all what's between the ears. So what's the chance of meditating in Kali Yuga? Zero. That's why I'm telling this story, is to emphasize Nam Bhajan. In meditation, even this guy is seriously trying to perform Purushcharan Vrata. How is he going to... Where is he going to attain Dhruvana Smriti or Samadhi? As soon as the phone rings, his attention is going to go there. So ridiculous. And how much disturbance is in the air? Microwave transmissions and satellites and TV waves and radio waves. Try to meditate. Impossible. But take out the kartals, take out the mridanga, and then start Harinam Sankirtan, and you drive all those other... non-spiritual sounds, all that shabda gets displaced by the incredible crescendo of Shabda Brahman. The incredible crescendo of Shabda Brahman displaces all the mundane sounds, as it says in the Bible. It says the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is everywhere. Every microwave tower, every cell phone tower is a Tower of Babel. There's a phrase, Babel meant Gramya Kata, Tower of Babel. Just it's a figurative thing and a little figurative and literal. The people were so much absorbed in mundane talks and sense gratification that they couldn't understand the message of Godhead, nor could they perceive transcendence or receive the subtle vibrations from the Paramatma or from the mantras they're trying to meditate on. It's a real joke. See anybody meditating now? Plus, okay, you're trying to meditate, but at least leave your cell phone home. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his writings, he said, I foresee the day in Kali Yuga where the world church, the only religion will be Nam Sankirtan, and the world church will be Harinam Sankirtan. There will be nothing else. Nothing else will work, nothing else will be efficacious, and the world will be so disturbed and so chaotic and so crazy, which practically it already is, that the only thing that works is loud kirtan. Nam bhajan, nam kirtan. So, all right, that's the basic sadhana, that's the basic practice and foundation. But then we're intelligent people, and Krishna consciousness is for intelligent personalities, not for animals and subhumans. So we have to engage our intelligence and absorb our hearts. So then he's given us a direction, Bhajan Rahasyam, how to absorb our intelligence, how to direct our intelligence and absorb our hearts by these verses. Because all the verses in Bhajan Rahasyam are full of vras. They're from Jagannath Vallabha Natakam, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Krishna Karanamritam, Bilvanga Thakura. They're from Stavavali, they're from Stavamala, they're from Manashiksha. They're all rasic acharyas, either Vaishnavas or Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And every single one of these 200 verses is full of ras. Gopi quotations from Gopi Geet and Viraha Geet. So the whole book of Bhajan Rahasyam is basically saying, chant the holy name Nam Sankirtan, Nam Bhajan, mix all these rasa-filled verses in your Nam Bhajan, meditate on Astakali Lila, study these verses, and pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and study the Shikshastakam and see how it all blends together, because that's what he's revealing here. So this is the conclusion of Bhajan Rahasyam, but it shouldn't be the conclusion. Okay, we read that book, okay. If we even read it. It's a book we looked at or skimmed or glanced at and said, that's nice, good, great. Another book for my bookshelf. Boink. It's like ladies collect cookbooks and devotees collect spiritual books. You know, ladies, you know, cookbook? Homemaker type domestic ladies, they love to buy cookbooks. Oh, look, 101 recipes for vegetarian cakes. Oh, nice, that's nice. Cakes without eggs, that's a good idea. So then they look, oh, that's very difficult to make that one. Oh, that's too, we don't have those things in India. Okay, it goes to the show. Hundreds of books. And then every day they make the same old rice and dal. Every day rice, dal, chapatis, and sabji. But oh, so many cookbooks. So we're every day the same old bhajan. And so many books we have. So many hundreds of books. We buy all the latest books by all the latest acharyas. And of course, that's good. That's a good start. But Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he wanted to make it easy. Just take Bhajan Rahasyam. Because we are followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Bhaktisanta Saraswati, and of course, Srila Prabhupada. And before that, in the time of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, in the 1860s and early 1900s, Gaurakishore, he was asked one time, he said, listen, there's so many of these Sanskrit books on Raghunuga Bhakti and this Gaudiya Siddhanta and how to do bhajan and smar and lila smar and rup dhyan, etc. There's so many in Sanskrit and so many of them come into Bengali. Can you suggest any book that will like the best thing that we could take with us? And he said, yes. Because he was actually asked, how can you attain prema? They asked Gaurakishore. He said, it's easy. You can get for 5 paisa. And the person said, 5 paisa? They came from Calcutta. There was some Marwari from Calcutta. He said, 5, Baba, are you making a joke? No, 5 paisa. You go down to the Pushtak Bandar, to the bookstore, and you say, give me one copy of Prem Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakura Mahashaya. That's 2.5 paisa. And you give me one copy of Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakura Mahashaya. That's 2.5 paisa. That's 2 books, 5 paisa. Now you study these books, you follow these books, you pray like these books direct you to pray, you hanker like, you develop your kanti tabhav. You develop the intense craving and yearning, this lobamaya shraddha, this intense faith filled with greed to attain these high states of seva and realization which are depicted in the pages of Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. The intimacies of the Sevas in Manjri Sarup, which Champak Manjri, I believe Narottam is Champak Manjri, is revealing in his treatise. And you pray, and you read, and you remember, and you develop your line of thought and your line of feeling and bhava according to these 2 books. Very, very soon you'll attain Krishna Prema. You chant 1 lakh a day, 1 lakh of Harinam, Hare Krishna mantra, and study these books. So that was his recommendation. Well, now it's not 1860s. Now it's 2010. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur has come along and said, listen, do you want to attain Krishna Prema? So we say, yes. So you can attain Krishna Prema for 250 rupees. Well, it was 5 paisa, became 250 rupees. Oh, how will you do that? Only 250 rupees, that's not much. So you go down to the market and you buy a copy of Bhajan Rahasyam. The 250 rupees. Or let's see, it says in the price in the back. $10, 8 pounds. And you study this book of Bhajan Rahasyam and you chant 1 lakh rounds every day. And it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has promised that you'll get Krishna Prem and Apanadasha. You'll come to the level of Bhava, then Krishna will come. Krishna will come and give you Siddhadeya. Radhika will give you Siddhadeya. Gurudev will give you Siddhadeya. Nam Prabhu will give Siddhadeya. So this is the modern, let's see, not modern, but another presentation of the same concept. This is our firm belief that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or let's say this is the guarantee of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's given this book. His whole life is in this book. His whole life of bhajan is in this book. That's a very special and extraordinary book. So this is the end of Bhajan Rahasyam class.